Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome to episode 12 of Get in the Bin with me, Andrew Musgrove,
and me, Sam Mulliner. Hello.
Via the Everything is Black and White podcast. I'm going to have to change that introduction because all I envisage is me and you in a bin inviting our audience to get in with us.
Yeah.
I know I've made that point beforehand.
But I know, we got rid of the bins when the takeover happened. The bins and the paddling pools are all gone.
No, I got them specifically for this series, so I had.
You bought them back off the club as like an antique.
Because I knew I was going to launch a series eventually with you, so I thought, why not actually have a bin to get into, right?
Yeah, it's part of the club's history as well. It might be worth something in the future.
Exactly. You never knew. How are we doing, Sam? You well?
Yeah, I'm good. I looked on your LinkedIn profile this week.
Oh God.
To try and find out when this awards night is. And I discovered it's June the 12th.
It is.
I'm busy. I can't come.
Oh, what a shame. I just sorted out your ticket and everything.
Can't do it. I'm doing paid work that day and followed by the school run. So unless there's room for a 7 and a 3-year-old, actually, no, she'll be 4 by then. Then, unfortunately, I can't make it. You'll have to take Gibbo. I've heard he's a right riot. A few drinks down him and he's away.
He's a party animal, as John Gibson. But I think I'll be taking our colleague Aaron Stokes with us in the battle for best sport podcast against our Villa counterpart, who probably aren't feeling too chipper this Friday morning.
I didn't realise it was against the Villa podcast.
Oh, yes. Yeah. See, that makes it all the more important.
My aunt and uncle can pick the kids up. F that. I didn't realise it was against the Villa. I'm there. I don't even need a seat at the table. I'll just be vocal.
Just get the banner out. I mean, I hope if we do lose, there's no Soul on the Tyne banner unfurled. I mean, that would be very unfair.
No, you won't. Anyway.
Episode 12. We are rolling through the episodes here. Last week, I was the winner. Surrounding referees, big bugbear of mine, and I clinched victory. Admittedly, I haven't done the sums to see what the scores are, but you think it's a lot closer than I do. So for episode 13, I promise you I would have got the calculator out to see just how close they are. I hope you guys are all enjoying the series so far. Let us know in the comments anything you want us to discuss or debate. Me and Sam are certainly enjoying it. This week, should I go first? Do you want to go first?
Yeah, you can go first because I, for some reason, I just feel like I'm always the one that has to go first.
Okay, well, it's because I'm gentlemanly and I always like the other person to go first because I'm kind of like that. It's like opening a door for somebody, isn't it? Age before beauty is the good old saying.
Rude, honestly.
I thought it was a compliment, really. Well, I suppose. A self-confident comment.
There's not much in it, though, is there? Our ages.
Not that you could tell. But Anyway, we'll get on with episode 12. And my item to the table this week, I'm going to have to word this really carefully, because I think if I word it the wrong way, it might not go down too well. So,
and I will jump all over it.
Okay. All right. So it is. So I'm not going to use the word lack. I'm not going to use the term lack of respect, because I don't think this person in question is disrespected. I just don't think he's celebrated enough. So the lack of celebration, the lack of honouring, the just forgetting. I think, yeah. So my item is, when you talk about the great managers of Newcastle United, the greatest manager of Newcastle United is often forgotten about in the conversation of great Newcastle United managers. So it is Newcastle specific this week. And it is all about Joe Harvey and the way he gets forgotten about when we talk about club legends, when we talk about achievements at Newcastle United. He's always forgotten about, always is. Look on social media when they talk about great characters of this club, and you know, when they talk about Sir Boy Robson, Kevin Keegan, they deserve to be respected. They deserve to be talked about in very, very high regard. But they've always talked about just that little bit more and that little bit better than Joe Harvey, when in truth and in reality, everything they achieved didn't come close to what Joe Harvey achieved, i.e. in terms of lifting the last major honour for Newcastle United. And I think the point was reaffirmed when we went to the League Cup final last February, and all the talk was about Eddie Howe emulating a Kevin Keegan or Sir Bobby Robson. And Joe Harvey wasn't mentioned once, really, not in the build-up. And really, if Eddie Howe had won that cup, he would have been emulating Joe Harvey as the last manager to win a major honour for Newcastle United. And I just think Joe Harvey deserves a little bit more praise. He needs to be remembered. And I get, Sam, the point that you might make is, it was so long ago, people forget. That's just the way of the world. You know, 1969, people forget. The younger generation maybe haven't even heard of him, or you know, they're not that well clued up on him. So you can't really have a go at them for not talking about him. But then I would say, well, actually, the younger generation, Kevin Keegan was nearly, what, 30 years ago? Sir Bobby Robson, 20 years ago. So that's still a fair whack. And I just would like to see Joe Harvey given a little bit more praise for what he achieved at this club, because it wasn't just a manager who won a cup. It was a club captain who won two FA Cups and then was on the coaching staff for the 1955 FA Cup. And he is largely credited with making the difference on the training pitch to why they won the last FA Cup that they did back in 1955. So, yeah, the item this week, screw it, is the lack of respect for Joe Harvey, is the lack of conversation about him when we talk about great legends of this club.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, you did have to put that last sentence in there, because otherwise your point was so muddied.
I just wanted to get it right, because I've said lack of respect. I think the fact he's not talked about is the lack of respect. I don't think he's disrespected, but the fact he's very rarely talked about is the lack of respect. It's difficult. I don't want to anger anybody. I don't want to come across as pompous, you know, to our listeners and viewers, the majority who will be Newcastle United fans. You know, it's up to them who they celebrate and praise. This is just my opinion. So I want to be really careful, and I want to respect you guys who are watching and listening. So I want to get the phrase right. I'll be honest, I haven't quite nailed it down yet, but I think I've got the point across.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Okay.
A few
things to unravel there.
Go on then.
So I think, I mean, your point you make is obviously no issue with whatsoever. Joe Harvey should be celebrated. Of course he should. And to only have that plaque at St. James's. Maybe he deserves a bit more, whether it's a statue or something a bit more than that. I don't know. We'll discuss that, because I know we've kind of discussed it in passing before. I don't think people necessarily forget him. Some may, but I don't think it's a general consensus that he's just forgotten about. I think there's probably a bit of acceptance, really, that obviously Sir Bobby and Kevin Keegan are more sort of recent history, because obviously, as we all know, football was clearly invented in 1992. So that's one thing, but maybe there's just a kind of acceptance that Joe Harvey's sort of the ultimate Mr. Newcastle United, really, done everything there is to do for a club. Player, captain, manager, the whole shebang. That, you know, him and you know, Stan Seymour. Whether he's forgotten about or not, gets shown a disrespect. So you would take umbrage then to people wanting, for example, the East Stand named after Kevin Keegan. You wouldn't want to see that.
I would prefer Joe Harvey to have the stand named after him, in my opinion. And Kevin Keegan, fantastic servant to the club, obviously came as a player and turned things around. You know, you had queues around the ground, whereas a week before you had nothing. You know, he really did come and save the club. Then he came back as manager and turned Newcastle United into Premier League title challengers and should have won the title. Fantastic, great. But the point being, he didn't. Like, we can't get away from that. He didn't. And then he came back under Mike Ashley. I don't think he should have ever come back the second time. I think that was a mistake on Ashley's part. I think it was a mistake.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, though.
It is. But I remember at the time thinking this is a bad idea, because he'd been out of the game so long, and it seemed like a move by Mike Ashley to heighten his popularity. And to be fair, at the time, he didn't need to heighten his own popularity, because it was quite high. He was in the stands with the fans, you know, he was signing players who spend the money. And it just seemed a bit of it didn't seem a football move, in my opinion. It seemed a popularity move by Mike Ashley. I don't think he should have come back. But anyway, I mean, that's a separate point. For me, as good as Kevin Keegan was with the entertainers, as good as a player he was, he doesn't have two FA Cup medals to his name as captain. He doesn't have a third as part of the coaching staff, and he doesn't have a major European trophy as a manager to his name. And I think it's probably a fine margin to getting that balance between, you know, what do we celebrate as a club and as a fan base? Do we celebrate a figure like Kevin Keegan? Yeah, we do. But do we celebrate it ahead of someone who actually achieved, you know, something, like really achieved something in terms of honours?
I don't know. Your point of him getting disrespect or a lack of respect is probably pushing it a bit too far, but.
Is it because fans always are having this discussion about the next statue or the stand, for example, and Kevin's always top of that list, and for me that's good, you know, fine, that's their opinion, but in my opinion, we should be basing it on honours, on medals, on trophies. You know, Joe Harvey came in as manager.
Honours, medals, and trophies. So you don't think Alan Shearer should have a statue then?
Well, that's different. I mean, his achievements are unrivaled. Club record signing, club record goal scorer. So yeah, of course. I mean, that's a yeah.
He's sure, you wouldn't say that after he replied to your tweet the other day.
My point being, though, if we're talking about the next person to deserve a statue. I'm more of a fan of a stand, if I'm being honest, but Joe Harvey for me is above Kevin Keegan. You could even argue, you know, Bob Moncur could be above Kevin Keegan in many ways as the last captain to lift the trophy. And maybe I'm just got a bit of a different viewpoint to the majority of people. I just think for what Joe Harvey achieved, and even if you take away the medals and the trophies, he came in and he saved the club when they were right down in the dumps. He created three fantastic teams, one that got promotion, one that won the cup, and one that could have won the FA Cup when they got the final. You know, he created three fantastic teams. He was charismatic. He was Mr. Newcastle. So his influence and impact on the club was just as great as Keegan's was. But I do accept that the time that's gone past, the time that's gone by, puts Keegan more at the forefront of people's minds than Joe Harvey. So I accept that that might be the argument people put forward to why Harvey's not always in the conversation. But for me, it's unbelievable that he's not. And I do think he often gets forgotten about, which is wholly unfair.
Maybe to a kind of new generation of fans, possibly. But even like fans like our age, I think, are fully aware of Joe Harvey and his achievements. Just to kind of play devil's advocate a bit then with the whole statue stand stuff. Jackie Milburn's got a stand and a statue. How does that sit with you?
That's fine. You know.
So he's okay having both.
I think
Shearer didn't win anything, but he's got a statue and a pub again now, thankfully. So how does that fit into your world?
Because again, Milburn was the club's record goal scorer for a very long time. That is an achievement that is up there with winning an FA Cup or a title. Now, of course you'd want to win a title. Of course you would. My point being, if it's based on achievements, again, Shearer, Milburn, Keegan, like there's no comparison in terms of goals and the longevity at a club that, you know, and I've got no issue with Milburn at all having a stand and statue. What a legend. What a fantastic ambassador for the club. And don't get me wrong, this isn't digging out Kevin Keegan, a fantastic ambassador as well for Newcastle United. But I just think in terms of the next person to be honoured, it has to be Joe Harvey, without a shadow of a doubt. No question about it.
Yeah, but what are you putting in the bin though? Because you're saying that he has to be the next person honoured.
I'm putting in the bin the fact that when it comes from what I see on social media and from conversations I have with people, that he's very rarely mentioned in the conversation of legends. And I'm putting in the bin.
So who should be up there with that's name then? Hit me with your big three. Because you're saying that you hate Kevin Keegan.
No, whoa. I'm not saying that. You'll be hearing from my solicitor. I get the point you make. For me, it's just the fact that he's often forgotten about, and he shouldn't be. And I honestly do not think it's a conversation to be had about who should be honored next, who the East Stand should be named after. That's what we're going to go after. It should be Joe Harvey.
Got to focus on the East Stand getting bigger first.
We do. Your point this week?
Mine is completely nothing to do with anything that you've brought up. Mine this week is e-tickets, and that's not me saying tickets in a Yorkshire accent. That's digitalized tickets for football matches.
Okay.
Hit me.
Well, so I was waiting for you to come in with the reason behind this e-ticket selection.
So I am a bit of a sap when it comes to things like this. And it's not for everyone. Not everyone will care. But I just have so many memories attached to my things. And I've come prepared this week. Because I used to keep lots of tickets from in my youth, not just football ones, but gig tickets as well. Oasis at Wembley Stadium there, before they split up. But there's I've got quite a few in here. A lot of you will recognise these tickets from back in the day.
I've got some of them as well, hiding away somewhere.
Yeah.
Just for our listeners, Sam's digging out his treasure to chest, and he's just brought out one of the tickets from probably the late 90s, where it's got the Newcastle crest on the background, blue strips along the top.
Yeah,
you're going to tell me I got the years wrong?
Yeah, a bit later.
What date was on that one?
Hang on, I've got to find it again. But yeah, I appreciate those listening. This is quite a visual kind of thing I'm going for, so I will do my best to explain as well. I've got so many in here.
Just pick one out and tell us the deal on it, just so we can get a feel for it.
Well, I will, but it's not as easy as that.
Yeah, you literally just had one in your hand.
Yeah, I know, but now I've dropped it back in the pile. So 2000 and so there's that one. That was 2008. I've got a 2007.
Who was 2006?
That blue one was 2006.
And who was it? Newcastle versus.
That was my first ever game. Newcastle versus Celtic in a pre-season friendly.
There you are.
Where Steve Harper played up front.
Interesting. Good memory that. I do remember that happened. I didn't know it was that game. But anyway, so your point is that you like the firm ticket in your hand because it's a memory, it's a collector's edition for you kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got so many, like even recent ones. This is the one I've got a couple from last season. So this one which I'm holding up now is the ticket for the Carabao Cup semi-final second leg against Southampton. And like things like this, I'm quite lucky really because it's only just come to Newcastle this season. These pair of tickets that I'm holding up now for last season was my son's first ever game against Wolves, which, I'll be honest, was the best day of my life. So to have these as a keepsake, just as a little memento, obviously you'll always have the memories of stuff like this. But that means a lot to have something physical in your hand from the day. I mean, like I say, it's not for everyone, but like this season... we were at the PSG home game, weren't we? And the ticket I've got for that is like a snapshot on your phone. It's just not the same. And there's just bits and pieces. One that isn't Newcastle United, but so if you'll indulge me very, very briefly, I'll try and tell this story as quick as I can. None of my family were into football. However, when my granddad, who's sadly no longer with us, he passed away during COVID part one. He showed me a ticket he had when he was in the forces. So this is extremely delicate and extremely rare. So I'm holding up to camera. Sorry if you're listening, listeners, but I'm holding up a ticket, my granddad's ticket, from Germany versus England at the Olympic Stadium in Berlin on Saturday, the 26th of May, 1956. Again, my granddad wasn't really into football, but he saved this. And obviously, when I got into it, he showed me this. And this was kind of the only kind of when he passed during COVID and I could go and see my nan or whatever. There was like some bits and bobs when we were clearing out his stuff, which is obviously horrendous. And I come across this and I was like, I really want this. So I have this and it takes pride of place on a cabinet in my living room. I don't know how much it's worth, if it's worth anything at all, but it's priceless to me. So from that all the way down to, three generations later with me and my lad and his first tickets, and then obviously I've got my first ticket game in there as well. I just like to keep them. I think they're priceless.
It's very, very hard now to not vote for your point there, because that was touching. I wasn't
going to show it, to be honest, because I didn't want to kind of make it any more emotional than what it needed to be. But that's what it means to me, like keeping these tickets. And it's just like, even like silly ones, West Ham away last season, I'll try and move it away from the emotional standpoint now. And
even by all means, continue. I mean, I get it, because I just moved house. So when I went up into the loft and kind of got the boxes down that I'm not allowed to have on show, I had a shoebox kind of full of stuff like that, of tickets and games that I've been to. My first game back in I think it was 1998 FA Cup against Blackburn was mine. Got the match day programme as well. Got the ticket stub. Ticket stubs against Marseille in the UEFA Cup.
Oh.
Semi-final. You know, so I get it. And, anytime I kind of go into that box, I do enjoy a little look back through them. So I get the sentimental value of them, and I get the point you're making. What I would ask you, Sam, I mean, in terms of the use of e-tickets, do you have an issue with them? Are you, how are you finding them? There's been a lot of debate from a Newcastle point of view that they cause a little bit of chaos. It's very hard to get into the ground, maybe on time. Sometimes the scanners don't work. How are you finding the tickets on your phone?
Personally, never had an issue. But, you know, I've not been at St. James's Park a whole lot this season because of our friend the Ballot.
Did you get a ticket for the Brighton game?
No. Well, through the Ballot? No. But I have got someone, shout out Jackson, who's a friend of my good friend, Johnny, is on holiday that day. So he has transferred legitimately his ticket across, of which I have financially compensated him. So I will be at the Brighton game, but not through the Ballot. So that is a whole season of not getting a ticket at St. James's Park through the Ballot. But yeah, I've not had an issue. But what I will say is the queues are longer getting in. They are. You can't, I don't think you can argue with that. I mean, the stadium has always been pretty much sold out near enough, more often than not, whether you're doing paper tickets, e-tickets, whatever, but I do find it does take longer to get into the ground.
Hmm.
I don't know if you would go along with that.
I've had no issues personally myself. My family, you've been looking up to get tickets as well. They don't seem to have too many issues, but of course there are enough people on social media which seem to suggest that some do have problems. But I guess, look, it's the first season they've really kind of implemented this, so there's going to be teething problems, and I'm sure as we go on down the years, it'll get a lot easier and a lot simpler. I think, you know, for ease of use, I think it's a good thing to have e-tickets. You can just scan it, as simple as that. It's like having your card on your phone. So I think for convenience, I think it is a good thing, as long as you've got signal and you've got full charge on your phone, because I imagine if your battery dies, you're suddenly in a wee bit of bother. But that's not really the point, is it? Your point is more about the memories and having the physical ticket to look back on
I even have like old like gig tickets from when I went to, and like the memories you evoke from that, and like the cool artwork. This I'm holding up, listeners. So I do apologize again if you're listening and not watching the pod. Like I'm holding up a Radiohead ticket from 2008 for Old Trafford. That's just such a cool artworky, and it's massive as well. Such a cool ticket, and then like, you know, just seeing that just ultimately brings back memories of when I was 18, and it was, yeah, great. So, and like I say, like the football ones, you'll always have memories of games or whatever, but like just some it's just nice to keep as special. Like I've always got the Wolves game from last season, as I say, my lad's first game. They're always up on the pin board now. I'm never getting rid of them, and obviously I will defend that Germany England ticket from the 50s with my life. But yeah,
some might say, Sam, just buy a match day program.
Well, I do as well. I have the match day program of Newcastle PSG, but it's not the same. I don't know why it's not the same. I have the program from the PSG game. I didn't buy one in Dortmund, and I don't know why. I don't even think I saw any. But I don't even think a football program's a thing in Germany. I did not see anything.
There must be, surely.
I can't remember seeing any program vendors at all. Otherwise, I would have got one. Of course I would have got one. And, like, did you watch Dortmund PSG the other day?
I did. It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
I love Dortmund. I've fallen head over heels with that club. Obviously not to the extent of Newcastle, of course, before you start emailing in. But, yeah, it's just a little paper ticket. It's something so simple. Can be so effective and memory evoking. It's just not the same as having a snapshot of your phone, because I have screenshot with my PSG at home ticket, and it's just, it doesn't just doesn't do anything for me. Obviously, I've got video recollection of being there as well, but I don't know. There's just something about the ticket and having your seat number on it and where exactly you were in the ground on such a day. I don't know. It's just, again, it's not for everyone. But that's just how I feel about it.
No, I get you. Like I said, I think you maybe won this week just based on how emotional that was. And I know you didn't do it because of that, but it was quite touching. I'll just go back to my point because having said that, this really is one of my big bugbears. People of the podcast who listen to it week in, week out know I'm a massive fan of Joe Harvey. I think he's such an important character in Newcastle United's history.
Didn't you do a podcast documentary on him?
I did. Have I not mentioned it before?
Critically acclaimed.
It was. Really? I'm sure I've mentioned it. Really? Just a few times. So it is very hard for me just to kind of give up this argument about Joe Harvey, because I do think he deserves to be spoken about.
He does.
More, I think, in the conversation, as I said, about the next person to be honoured with a statue, the stand, whatever it is, he should be at the front of the queue ahead of anyone. And the next time Newcastle get to a cup final, when we're talking about Eddie Howe being in the same breath as Kevin Keegan and Sir Bobby Robson, that's fine. Two fantastic managers, two brilliant characters for Newcastle United, got what the club meant to the fans. But in terms of real achievements, the conversation needs to be about Eddie Howe emulating Joe Harvey, because that's what he would be doing. 13 seasons as Newcastle United manager, Intercity's First Cup winner, won the Texaco Cup twice and the Anglo-Italian Cup. Okay, three minor little honours there, but you know, still cup finals, Division 2 title, and then the FA Cup final as well. Just a fantastic manager, fantastic player, fantastic ambassador for the club, great servant to the club, brilliant manager, maybe not the best tactician in the world, but had the respect of Bob Moncur, Malcolm MacDonald, brought Terry Hibbert to the club, another absolute legend. And I just say to people who maybe aren't too clued up on it, spend half an hour, go and search it, go and Google it, go and pick up a book from the library, listen to the documentary and really get a sense for it of what Joe Harvey did for this club and what he should be honoured for. Ask your older members of your family what he was like, because for me, no one comes close to him. He is Mr. Newcastle, and he does deserve the next big honour, whatever that might be, in terms of a statue, stand, what have you, but it should be him at the top of the list.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I think probably you've only lost this week on a technicality of language, really, because get on your pedestal instead of get in the bin, then I would you'd have probably taken it. But we'll say you've lost this one on a technicality. But I agree. He should have more than a plaque at St. James's. He absolutely should. And yeah, you're right. But I will make one point though, that obviously we say when we were at the cup final last season, I mean, you were the one holding the talking, so why didn't you say anything? And you had Bob Moncur sat like two chairs down from you.
I must have mentioned it. I mean, I was more just talking about the build-up in general. Okay, you've got me on that one. I mean, I can't exactly remember. I probably would have mentioned it, surely. I mentioned it every time I'm talking about Newcastle United.
I was drunk for most of the day, to be honest, so I can't remember it. But yeah, you must have done. I just remember being the standalone man saying he's actually the start.
Again, you weren't the only one. You weren't the standalone man, because I said it as well. So
I remember it was inherently different to you.
I was perfectly sober. You were not, so my memory's better, especially without the lack of the good old alcoholic beverages. But can I really give that? I haven't. I said I think you have. I didn't fully agree. I didn't lock it in. I didn't sign it in. Because it would feel wrong because of how many times, how much I talk about this, like all the time. It would feel wrong as strong as your point was, and as swept up in it as I got, it would feel wrong for me just to kind of say, you've won this week.
Do you want me to get the ticket out again?
No, I don't want you to do that because
it's back in its pride of place now. There is a map of the Olympic Stadium on the back.
I saw that on the back. I was intrigued by it.
I'll get this out again, actually, because I've not. There we go. Can you see that?
There we go. Yeah, I noticed that.
1956. So it cost him 0.2 of a Deutschmark. So
I'm not even going to humour you with a prediction.
And look at this as well, right? So number four, ticket number four.
It's in perfect condition, pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah.
An impressive one.
Ticket 00004. Block and in the Oberring Curve Sitzplatz.
The beauty of you having that ticket is that you can sit down with your little ones and kind of invoke the memory of your granddad.
Yeah, I mean, my eldest is was fortunate to spend time with my granddad. My daughter was born two months after he passed, which is a shame. But not that we could have seen him anyway because we were all locked down. But that's kind of a bit of an annoyance, but yeah, absolutely, it's massive, and like you say, it's perfect in perfect condition, and it will be in perfect condition but when I hand it down to my son. So it's these things that just make it important. I just don't think we should lose sight of these things and put everything computerized and whatnot, and then they're just lost in the ether after the event's happened.
I get that. I'm going to take an editorial stance here, though. I am going to take an editorial stance because I'm just going to say both items shall get in the bin.
Okay, I'll go with you on that.
We're not going to have a vote about it. We're not going to open it up to the people because I think they're both very two personal points that we've both made. Obviously, yours slightly a bit more personal with the connection to your granddad there, but it's something that I feel. I mean, of all the items, this is the one I feel most passionate about for me. So
two
I can't
big,
just
two big hitters this week, then, wasn't it? We didn't plan it either. We did because we'll let you into a little secret here.
We never plan it,
viewers and listeners. We don't know what each other have got. We didn't know we were coming into this with two hard hitting items. So yeah, I forgot. I mean, I know we've done it once before, but I forgot we can put them both in.
Yeah, we'll put them both in this week. Let us know in the comments what you think. Do you collect ticket stubs like Sam does? And let us know which ones you've got hidden away somewhere.
I do collect programs as well, and I collect shirts as well. I collect anything.
You have them all out on display because I'm not allowed.
My shirts are all in an ottoman, and my programs are all in a drawer with my ticket stubs. Yeah,
well, at least they're not in the bin.
Correct. Lovely. And on that bombshell.
Lovely. Well, Sam, thank you as always for joining us in Get in the Bin episode 12. Both items have ended up in the bin this week. The lack of conversation, a lack of honouring of Joe Harvey, the last Newcastle manager to win a major honour, which was the first cup in 1969, and e-tickets and the danger they represent to creating physical memories, i.e. collecting the ticket stubs, and being able to share the stories and memories with your younger members of the family. This has been the Everything is Black and White podcast. Please hit subscribe, give the video a thumbs up, head over to chroniclelive.co.uk for all the latest Newcastle United news. And for myself and Sam, we'll see you next week for episode 13.